Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
Well, hey, today is week 4 of our Money Matters campaign. And I've got the great honor of bringing this campaign to a close. It's just been such an incredible couple of weeks. And for me, it's been all the feels. I've been a challenge, convicted, I've been encouraged. God has done a work in my heart over the last couple of weeks. And it really is such an important topic for us as the church to be discussing. Does the church want your money? The short answer is this: no. Yes, it is a helpful and necessary resource for us. But here at C3 SYD, this is what we're about, and this is what we want for you: that you would know Jesus, that you would find community, and that you would discover purpose. And a part of that, we want to help you, and we want to give you biblical teaching on how to handle money. And so we've been doing that the past couple of weeks, and that's what we'll be doing here today. You may have heard the saying, money makes the world go around. And I learnt early this week that saying became famous in the 1960s through a Broadway musical called Cabaret. And in that musical was a song that claimed just that: money makes the world go around. Now, we believe, and as Christians, we believe that it's God himself who keeps the earth spinning. But there is an element of truth to that phrase, because money really is a big part of our everyday lives. And Jesus teaches us that the way we handle money matters, and that the way we handle money is a reveal of our heart. Jesus says, where your treasure is, your heart will be there also. He later on, a couple of verses later, says, you can't serve both God and money. So money is an issue of the heart. Money is an issue of trust, because money is an issue of lordship. To be silent about money as a follower of Jesus is to be silent about one of the most relevant issues of life. I forgot to mention that there's going to be a phone number come up on the screen behind me. And if any point during this sermon, if you text that number with the words, get me rich quick, along with your email address, Guess what's going to show up in your inbox? Absolutely nothing. Because the Bible doesn't hand out get me rich quick formulas. What it does give us is wisdom on how to faithfully steward what God has already placed in our hands, which is far more valuable than any shortcut to wealth. I'd go as far to say it's far more valuable than riches itself. Money can buy you many things. One thing money can't buy is wisdom. One thing money can't buy you is wisdom. The Bible has a lot to say about money. And one of the key themes we see repeated throughout Scripture is generosity. And so that's what we want to focus on here this morning, here today: generosity. Being generous is an essential aspect of true stewardship. The Bible says that we are blessed to what? Be a blessing. And so we're gonna look at John 3:16 here this morning. This is where we're gonna start. And this is perhaps the most famous passage of Scripture in all the Bible, and in many ways sums up, If there's a scripture to sum up what the good news of the gospel is all about, this is that scripture. And you may be here this morning. Maybe you've never prayed a prayer to invite Jesus into your heart, to get you right with God. Maybe once upon a time you prayed that prayer, but for whatever reasons you were distant from God. Well, we're going to have an opportunity later on in this service where you can do that. You can pray that prayer to invite Jesus into your heart, get you right with God. But let's look at this scripture. And speaking of generosity, this would be the most generous act ever recorded. It will forever be the most generous act ever recorded. And it says this in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." I just want to point out those first couple words. For God so loved the world that he gave. So generosity is love in action. If love gives, then you can't love without giving. 1 John 3:17 says this, "If someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person?" It's quite a confronting passage of scripture. It begs the question, do you have to be Christian to be generous? No. Also, are all Christians generous? Not necessarily. Point is this, generosity is a part of God's design for every human being. It's how we were created. For us believers though, and here at C3SYD, we are faith-filled, we are empowered by the Holy Spirit, we are motivated by love for God, and we focus on eternity. That's the difference. Let's look at a couple of scriptures in 2 Corinthians. And just to give it context, Paul is writing about the Macedonian churches. And let's turn to 2 Corinthians 8, verse 1. And it says this, "And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Verse 2, in the midst of a very severe trial." So not just trial, not just severe trial, but a very severe trial. Look at this. "Their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty. Their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity." Macedonia in the day was a very, very poor area back in the day. And it was known for its poverty. And here we read, "Their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity." Go figure. They weren't generous out of their surplus because they didn't really have any. They were generous out of their poverty. Because generosity was not dependent on their status or state. Generosity was who they are. Generosity was who they were. Generosity is not something we do. Generosity is something, it is who we are. If God is love, if God gives, and if his Holy Spirit lives in us, then generosity should be the hallmark of every Christian. Generosity should be the hallmark of every believer. And if we go down to verse 3, it says this, "For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own." Look at this. "They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing." Generosity is a privilege. "They pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people, and they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God also to us." They didn't have much, but they gave generously and willingly. You don't have to be wealthy to be generous. As a matter of fact, you can be wealthy and be stingy at the same time. More money won't make you more generous. More money will make you more of what you already are. I'm going to say that again. More money won't make you more generous. More money will make you more of what you already are. It's not how much you have that matters. It's what you do with even the little that you have that God can use. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6, it says this, "The point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully," or another word for that is generously, "whoever sows bountifully, generously will also reap bountifully," will also reap generously. The motivation is not to get. We don't give to get, but the reaping of our sowing is a biblical principle. Eugene Peterson, in the Message translation, he uses the word stingy instead of sparingly. Have you ever had someone over for dinner and they brought with them a bottle of wine, but then you only got through half of the bottle, maybe three quarters of the bottle, sharing it with other people, of course. And at the end of the night, that person takes home with them the three quarters empty bottle of wine. And I don't know why, but that just makes me cringe. Not that I care about keeping what's left, but if you're going to contribute and leave it at that. If it's a nice bottle of wine and you're worried about a little bit going to waste, well, maybe don't bring the nice bottle of wine in the first place. Have you ever been out for dinner with a group of friends and the restaurant lets you split the bill? And there's always that one person who wants the receipt at the end of the night. They get their calculator out. They go through every item on that receipt, maybe even put initials next to each item, making sure who is responsible for what. And if a couple bowls of chips get ordered to share around at the table, they're keeping count of how many French fries you put in your mouth, and they're going to make you pay accordingly. And if they only ate half a spring roll, you better believe it, they're only paying for half a spring roll. Meanwhile, the poor person who pays last gets stuck with what's left over. That drink that someone forgot to pay for, that entree or half-eaten spring roll that someone else forgot to pay for. And I can't help but be a little suspicious that some people forget on purpose. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Then verse 7 says this, "Each person must give as he has decided in his heart." So again, it's an issue of the heart. That's where you decide. And to help make that decision, yes, you use wisdom. Then it goes on to say, "Not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." God loves a cheerful giver. It's not just the act of giving. It's about the cheerfulness with which we give. And it's the spirit of it that we want you to catch here today, here this morning. It's like when you ask your child to apologize to their sibling and they do it begrudgingly. Their tone, their facial expression says it all. It's not a real sorry. They're only doing it because mum and dad asked them to do it. Being generous should be a joy. And I want to applaud you, church. And on behalf of Pastor Alex and Pastor Jessen, you are a generous people. This is a generous church, and we just want to applaud you and celebrate you, thank you and honor you. How about you put your hands together? Give yourselves a round of applause. You are a generous people. This is a generous church. I work on staff here, and so I see it. And every week, almost every week, I hear stories about your generosity. I've been on the receiving end of some of your generosity. Whether we have little, lots, or somewhere in between, let's be generous. Let's shine the light of Christ. Let's be the hands and feet of Jesus. If I can ask the worship team to join me. When I was 18 years old, I got a job over the summer mowing lawns for a landscaper. Long days, hot sun, but decent money for an 18-year-old. And I remember getting my very first paycheck, and it was a lump sum of a couple weeks' worth of work, and I was feeling pretty chuffed in myself about it. And honestly, can't remember what I spent on most of it, but I do remember this: I tithed on it, and then I set aside $200, and I asked the Lord this. I said, "Lord, who can I bless with this $200? Who can I help with this $200? Now, important to note, okay, so generosity isn't instead of tithing. It's in addition to. And we have some great resource on tithing that you can get at our Next Step lounge if you want to find out more about that. Tithing is between you and God. Generosity is who we are, using what is in our hand to help others. And so I tithed on some of that money. Then I set aside $200 and asked the Lord, who can I bless with this? Who can I help? And I'd never done anything like that before. So I was genuinely excited to do this. And that Tuesday night, I walked into this very auditorium for our Tuesday night prayer meeting. And there on stage was Andy Bennett playing guitar. And I just knew straight away in my heart that I was to give this money to him. And so I did that. And Andy was a student at our School of Creative Arts at the time. And he was saving up for a new guitar. And it turned out that $200 was just about what he needed to purchase that guitar. Now, in the scheme of things, a guitar might not seem all that urgent or important. But here's the thing, God knows the desires of people's heart. God knows the desires of people's hearts. And what a joy, what an honor, what a privilege it is to play part in God blessing someone. What an honor, what a joy, what a privilege it is to play a part in God blessing someone. Yes, generosity is who we are. It's something that should just flow naturally and be a part of our everyday life. But I share that story to encourage you in this. Ask the Lord, who can I bless? Who can I help with what I have in my hand? And I have no doubt that He will show you, that He will speak to you. And I'll finish with this scripture, 2 Corinthians 9:11 to 12. It says this: you will be enriched in every way. It doesn't say you will be rich. And there's nothing wrong with being rich. But it says you will be enriched. To be rich is to have lots of money. To be enriched is to have your life filled with something far greater than money. Wisdom, peace, generosity, love, and purpose. You will be enriched in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion. Again, you don't need to be rich to be generous. You just need to be enriched. And throughout us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but it is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Generosity doesn't just meet people's needs. Generosity unlocks gratitude and thanksgiving in people's hearts. Generosity reminds people of the goodness of God. Generosity reminds people of the faithfulness of God. God is love, and God gives. And His children, and we are His children. We are children of God. Generosity is who we are because we are children of God.
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.